And welcome, friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you today. And today we're going to express the importance of scripture memory. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. We meditate upon the word of God day and night, that we would be like the tree planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth fruit in its season, leaves not withering, but prospering. Let's just pray for a moment. Father, we pray your blessing upon these words as we consider the importance of your word. And Father, thank you for giving us your word, that it would be alive in us and bring forth much fruit in our lives and our family's life as we bring it to them too. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, today, friends, we're going to talk about scripture and hiding the scripture in our hearts and just understanding how to meditate and how to bring the scriptures to relevant application. Jeremy Cluth joins me. He is part of a ministry called Scripture Alive, scripturealive.com, dramatic presentations of the Word of God. And also, he's got an entire course on how to memorize Scripture. It's called Power to Remember, Scripture Memory That Works. Jeremy, welcome to the Generations Broadcast, my friend. It's good to have you with us.
Thank you so much, Kevin. I'm glad to be here and glad to talk about this important topic.
Yeah, and you join a distinct bunch of presenters of the Word of God: Max McLean, Marky Laughlin, Abigail Houston, Aaron House, Matthew Moore, Tom Meyer. These are folks that do scripture performing. That is, they bring out scripture in a dramatic form. What's the value of that, Jeremy?
The value of that is it brings to color what we see in black and white, and it brings the page, it brings the words of the pages off of the page and onto the stage or onto wherever you're at, to bring to life these real stories with real people with real emotions. But oftentimes when we read the Bible, we just kind of gloss over it and we kind of just go to the next thing. And so in this way, there's the value of being able to better understand the scriptures, better understand the people of scripture, and recognizing they were human just like us. And looking at that and saying, what can I learn from that character? What can I learn from this story? What can I learn from that passage? Or how the Holy Spirit can speak to us, right? We know in Isaiah 55, it says that his word does not come back void. So anytime I present scripture, anytime any of those other people that you mentioned quote scripture, it's different than anything else that anyone else would ever quote, whether it be a play or even a musician or whatnot. To have the word of God, it does not come back void. And mm-hmm. Matthew 24:35, it says that heaven and earth may pass away, but my words will not pass away. And so I see that that's a value of being able to bring it to life for people, and that it impacts their hearts and their souls, and it would make them want to be doers of the word.
Scripture, how does it impact you? How do you absorb it such that it comes alive for you, Jeremy?
That's a great question, right? Because, I have that burden, using the gifts, stewarding the gifts God has given me to actually bring it to life. But first, I have to see how it comes to life for myself and to actually study it, to meditate on it, to think about it. And so for me, it's just a powerful thing where I get a chance to look back. And, I have an acting background. And so I learned through, my time at Moody Bible Institute through the class oral interpretation. I learned in theater in high school about looking into each character, looking into their motivations, looking into how they respond and why they responded a certain way, and then seeing how I can bring that to life. So I imagine it in my mind of how they could say it, but then I explore. I allow myself to think of maybe it's a different way they say it. And so as I'm working on those things, blocking it out, and as I'm doing the actions and the different characters and the narration, I start to get to piece together through the help of the Holy Spirit to kind of realize what's the best way that this comes alive for other people. And then as that's happening, it is coming alive for me, and it gives me great joy to be able to do it for others.
What are the chapters of Scripture, what are the stories that you have memorized and focused in on in some of your presentations? And I know you've done this in some 25 countries around the world, so what's your content?
My content typically really consists of the different biblical characters of the Bible. I've confidently said that that's my type of memorization, where I do different characters, the heroes of the faith, as it were, but they're still normal people, right, that still had sin struggle, still had issues, but also had great strengths and great moments of faith. And so I have the life of Daniel memorized, which is Daniel 1, chapter 1 through chapter 6. I have the life of Elijah memorized, which is 1 Kings 17 to 2 Kings 2. I have the life of Paul, which is a really unique presentation where I combine seven of his epistles, and I put them together as if it were Paul the Apostle speaking to you directly. But then I combine it with Acts 9 through 28, which is, of course, abridged. It'd take me 3 hours to do the whole Acts 9 through 28, but I kind of bring in the multiple stories of that. And then one of my favorites is a one-man passion play, where I combine all four Gospels covering the crucifixion and covering Jesus' arrest and betrayal and his resurrection. And that's a really powerful time for Easter, the Easter season. And I have a couple others, but those are some of the main ones.
But I know that one of your passions is to be sure that others are hiding God's word in their hearts. There's such value to that. Talk to us about the value of memorization and what that does for a believer.
Well, the value of memorization is that, you know, it shows that when, for one, it shows the posture of your heart, your desire to know God better through his word, right? The written revelation is a significant thing. You know, God chose to give us his written revelation. He chose to give us his word, in which all scripture, it says in 2 Timothy 3:16, is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. You see, when we are able to actually have the word in our hearts, that we can know how we can better obey God, we can know how to better to resist sin, that we can have that exit sign, as you've already shared, right? I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you, as Psalm 119:11 says. And so it really just equips us, right? We know that the armor of God in Ephesians 6, the only offensive weapon, or the only offensive item in the armor of God, is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And so it allows us to be equipped to be able to attack the enemy, right? Satan is wanting to attack us in any way that he can, and that can be through people, that can be through circumstances, that can be through lies that he says. And so when we have something, when we have a defense, that we can say, no, this is what the word of God says, it's a powerful thing, and it can transform anyone who commits to memorizing God's word.
Now, I know that some of this memorization began when you were 13 years old. You lost your mom. Tell us what happened.
Well, my mom was an awesome, just awesome follower of Christ. She loved Jesus all the time, and she just loved people all the time. She just had such a heart for others. But you know, we have a real we had a real challenge when she was diagnosed with breast cancer when I was 6 years old, and she was given 12 months to live by the doctors. They said, you know, 85% chance she won't live past 12 months. But God was merciful. He was gracious, and he gave her another 7 months to live. And, you know, through that entire journey, she just kept recognizing the strength of Christ in her, and would continue to be a great, great witness. But she did ultimately pass away when I was 13.
Okay.
From the breast cancer, went quietly to be with Jesus.
Mm-hmm. And that gives you the opportunity to get more into the Word of God, ultimately.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I had come to know Christ at 11 years old, and my love for the Word was immediate once the Holy Spirit was indwelling in me. But it was really at 13 when I realized, like, I couldn't just have this Word, you know, the Bible, on a bookshelf or in my pocket on my phone. I needed it in my heart for healing and comfort. And so that's when I started to store up God's Word intentionally, where I memorized James 1, 2 through 4 became my life verse.
It just seems to me we need the Word of God every day. We're in spiritual warfare. The devil is whispering things into our heads. And we just need to have the belt of truth, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, just at ready. You know what I'm saying? You can't be running around trying to find it. It's got to be right there on your side. You got to pull it from the sheath and make it work for you right there. And then it seems to me the Word of God just has to be ready access right there.
Yes. And I love you hit the nail on the head, because whenever I do my scripture memory workshops for churches and different places, I say a Bible on your smartphone in your pocket is, or a Bible on your bookshelf. I said that's a sheathed sword. That is a sword in its sheath, and it won't do much good when the enemy is 6 inches in front of your face, and you suddenly have to try to pull it out. And it's like it's sharp. And it's effective, but not when it's in its sheath. You got to get it out of the sheath. You got to be ready to be able to attack. And when you don't, when you just have it on your phone, it's like, oh well, I can just get it access to it. But we don't always have access to our phone. It may be a specific circumstance, right? We're trying to calm down our screaming child, or we're at work where we just don't have that access, or for whatever reason we leave it at home. There's going to be times where we don't have the physical copy. And so, what do you do when you need the Word of God in your heart and ready on your lips?
One of the things that I do is I continually write the word out. It's interesting for me that that handwriting God's word has always been a good way to get it to stick. But let's talk about obstacles for just a little bit. People say, I don't have a good memory. I don't have time. What do you tell them?
Well, I like to say that, if you don't think you have a good memory, I imagine that most people in the room would say the same exact thing. If I were to raise your hand, say, hey, anyone who thinks they have a good memory, raise their hand. I imagine it would be a very small amount of people that would do that. Mm-hmm. And I would say that's why you got to work on it. How can you grow in your ability to memorize without actually memorizing? When I say people, when you want to do a marathon, right, you don't go run 26 miles the first day. You don't even run 13 miles. You probably don't even run a mile, right? You start off with something small, right? You do something where you do, 5 minutes of walking and 1 minute of running, and 5 minutes of walking, 1 minute of running. You do that, try to do that, three times in a week. And then the next, week, you try to do 2 minutes of running. And then you get to that point where now, okay, I can run for 5 minutes straight. And you build that up, right? And so when you don't have a good memory, of course, it's because you're out of practice. You're not going to have a good memory when you're out of practice. Mm-hmm. And so when you actually say, I'm going to commit to storing up God's word in my heart, and you use the techniques and you use the resources you have, you will absolutely increase in your ability to memorize. Okay. And the same thing with time. I think about when people say, I don't have time. I would say that, well, what are your priorities? I realize that, like, if you're too busy to spend time in God's word and meditating on it, you're too busy. If I'm being real about that it's like if we can't do that, and even having 5 minutes, and I even say in my book, I say that it can be as simple as 5 minutes a day that you can have that time with the Lord. And so I say that it's really getting those priorities straight. Now, I realize that there may be parents on here that are listening, right? And so there's a great quote, I'm forgetting her name, I wish I had her name right now, but she wrote a book, Writing the Word on Your Heart, and she's a mom of three, and she talked about, like as a busy mom, right, taking care of your kids, she encouraged them to say, use the first free 5 minutes of your day. Use the first free minutes of your day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and she said, if you don't have those 5 minutes, if you use it for your phone or you use it for something else, you may not get another 5 minutes. But if you dedicate it to the Lord and you ask the Lord for time and for wisdom to find that time to do it, I believe He will answer that prayer, because you want to meditate on His word, you want to store it up in your heart. I believe that's a prayer He will answer.
What's a good goal in terms of setting out to do this? Try it for a week, see if it works.
I would say try it for a month. I think the value, it can absolutely, I believe the Word of God is powerful, it's living, it's active, and it should hopefully create a joy. But I think if you were to say, hey, let me just do this next month, right? You don't even have to, you say, hey, in July, I'm going to just have this time and I'm just going to do it. I say a month, because that gives you time to actually memorize hopefully multiple verses, and gives you time to review and reflect and do that. Whereas a week could come and go and then you're like, oh, well, it didn't happen. So, but having at least a month, I think if you tested it out, if someone tested it out, I believe they would see the value of it.
Speaking with Jeremy Kluth, the author of the book Power to Remember, and this is from scripturealive.com. Jeremy, what scriptures do you memorize? Where do you start with this?
Well, that's a good question. And, I think most people, right, when you're trying to memorize for the first time, thinking about chapters or small books or even whole passages can be very intimidating. And so that's why I encourage people to start with a verse or a short passage, right, 2-3 verses of something that speaks to them in their life, right? Things that, you know, if you're going through a temptation or you're going through a time of trial and you need encouragement. But I also believe in being able to memorize scriptures that speak to the what it means to live out our faith and what it says about God. And so I actually created a pack of memory cards, 52 memory verses every Christian should know. And I have 12 topics, 12 of the most important topics that I believe everyone should be able to know as a believer. And so that includes like Jesus Christ and salvation. And so that includes verses like John 3:16 and John 1:1. But then I also talk about God's nature and attributes, as well as faith and trust and anxiety and fear. And so that is a great tool to be able to have, because not only does it have verses of some of the most significant verses that I believe can help you in your walk with Christ, but they also have tips and tricks, and it goes through this journey of how you can actually memorize scripture. And so that would be the first thing I would say is getting those topical verses would be an awesome way to do that.
Gotcha. Now let's get through your system here quickly if we can. Again, folks, this is from a book from Jeremy Kluth, Power to Remember. So you've got this system called the Power System. Let's just walk it out as best as we can. P, what does P stand for here?
P is the longest one of the five. It is pick, plan, and pray.
Okay.
So it's a three-step part. It's a three-step, one-step system, or part of that, where you got to be able to. This is really the most important part, right? Because when you're committing to it, you're saying, okay, look, at the end of the day, you can't just be like, I'm going to memorize scripture someday, right? If you say that, you're never going to do it. But if you're saying, no, I want to memorize, you know, James 1:2-4, or I want to memorize, you know, Psalm 23, right? You got to be able to pick what you're going to be able to do, and you got to be able to write it down somewhere. You got to do it in some way where it's recorded, or you share it with someone so that there can be that accountability. And that's when you got to plan it out, right?
Yeah.
And you say, hey, I'm going to memorize one verse a week for 6 weeks, right? Let's say it's Psalm 23, that's six verses. And you say, okay, I got to plan it out. Okay, I'm going to do one verse a week. Mm-hmm. Well, where are you going to do it? When are you going to do it? You know, you got to be able to say, okay, I'm going to do it where I have the most energy. I'm in a place where I'm limited distractions. I can focus on that. And so you plan it out and you write it out just like you would like a health plan or an exercise plan or whatnot. And you say, okay, I'm going to do this. But then you got to pray, right? You got to say, this: the Holy Spirit, I am nothing without the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit's help, without His power, without His ability, I cannot actually do any of this. And so just saying, Lord, help me to understand Your Word. Help me to truly treasure it in Your treasure it in my heart, and that it might be helpful in making it effective, that I can be a doer of the Word and that I can live it out. And so that's the P, is to be able to pick and then plan and then pray.
This is the power system for memorizing Scripture. The O is to overcome excuses. And I guess that's all have excuses, don't we?
Exactly right. Exactly right. Because you could make that, you know, you could pick out your passage, you could plan it, you could pray it. But at the end of the day, you got to be able to say, okay, what is my obstacle? And what I encourage people to do is that you look at your obstacle and you actually write down, what is your obstacle? Is it I don't have a good memory? You know, I think it's boring, or I have the Bible on my smartphone. I don't know which scriptures to memorize. Well, what you got to do is realize that the scripture is powerful to refute that, right? To combat that. And so I encourage them, write down what's your obstacle, your lie, your excuses, and then take a scripture that actually combats that. And then bring it to the Lord and say, Lord, this is my obstacle, but I need your help to overcome this. And that's why you got to have accountability. I encourage people, when you have a plan, you got to have someone that's going to do it with you. That's going to make you way more likely to do it. But then he or she is going to be able to help you to actually overcome that. But you got to be able to know what it is so that you can overcome it.
And I think people forget that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. People say, you mean the devil himself is coming against me as I sit down to study the Word of God? Yes, that's what I mean.
Yes.
You mean the devil comes up against me every time I say, hey, let's read the scriptures as a family this morning? Yeah, absolutely. The devil will be there, and he will shut it down if he can. The devil will prevent you from attending prayer meeting. The devil will do everything he can to get the Word of God away from you. This is a spiritual battle. People forget that.
Yeah, absolutely. You hit it right there. I totally believe it's a spiritual battle.
Yeah.
And that's why we need the sword of the spirit.
You feel that when you get up on stage, don't you? You feel this pushback.
100%.
Sure, absolutely.
100%. I have gotten sick. I have gotten situations where things seem to be going wrong right up to the point of getting ready to perform God's word, to minister the word of God to people's hearts. And I know that's the enemy saying, I hate what you do.
Yeah.
And I have to overcome it every time and just trust the Lord that he's going to work through it.
Very important. I love the O. It's there in the power system for memorizing scripture, overcome excuses. Let's move on to W, work on it daily. It's a discipline. It's a discipline.
That's right. It is. There's reason. It's a spiritual discipline. There's the consistency, right? Right. Like I say, when you have that plan and you say, I'm going to do it every single week, to be able to do it every single day, that is just going to improve your memory. It's going to keep it a habit, right? Because if you say, well, I'll memorize it the next day, and then, well, one day becomes 2 days, becomes 5 days, becomes 10 days, suddenly you've not done it, where you're like, oh, I was supposed to do it. But when you're working on it daily and you have that time with the Lord and you're committing to it, that's going to improve in so many ways, improve your ability to memorize. It's going to help you to be able to meditate on stronger. It's going to help you to actually have it stick in your heart, right? So it's just like you would exercise, to be able to work on that, to be able to have that discipline. But when you realize there should be a delight and a joy in God's word and actually treasuring it up, that should make it easy. It is still discipline. It still takes effort, but it shouldn't make it something that it's laborious.
Mm-hmm.
Because I tell people, if you're not having fun memorizing and storing up God's word, you are doing it wrong.
And you have to feel the sheer spiritual energy just surging through your spiritual veins and arteries.
Absolutely.
As you bring the word of God to bear. I tell you what, it's real, man. It's real. It really does affect. Okay, the power system. Let's move on to E, express it. So now we're getting down to the core issue here. Express it.
The core issue. Yes, absolutely. And this is really a lot of people, you want to make it fun, you want to make it engaging, you want to make it memorable. I encourage people to express it. Now, this is the specific reason why I call it the power system and not the power method, right? Originally, it was the power method, but I realized that everyone has different methods. But with a system is you can put any method and it will work. And that's what I see in Express It, right? I say, I encourage people to use all three of the main learning styles, right? Visual, auditory, kinesthetic.
All of it.
And use the techniques that you enjoy as well, right? So you said, Kevin, you like to write things down. So if you like writing things down, write it down.
Yeah.
Use that visual version, right? You're doing it kinesthetic, but you're also doing it visual. Well, what's a good way to add auditory? Say it out loud as you're doing it, right? And then if you're someone that's like, I love song, there are a variety of scriptures, song resources.
Sing the psalms. Sing the psalms.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Sing the psalms, right? Mm-hmm. So that's an auditory different way. But then you could also do hand motions, right? The kinesthetic. Hand motions is great for your kids, you know, doing it with your kids, doing it for yourself. I have a friend that she says she'll do sometimes where she'll try not to do it with the hand motions because she's like, oh, I don't have time. And she's really like, I can't not use hand motions because then it's not as fun and it's not as effective for her because she's so used to bringing those hand motions to connect the thoughts with the words. And that makes it more powerful experience for her and more fun experience. And so I tell people to be able to express it. And three phrases that I think anyone can remember is to see it, say it, and do it. So you see it, you say it, and you do it. That's it. The ways you can incorporate
Good.
Those three different types.
And so much more here. You've got hand motions, acting it out, going for a walk. Oftentimes, the four-dimensional experience is one way to memorize as well. Well, let's end with R, review it. So there's got to be a constant review. I noticed that, you know, you forget the verses you learned 4 years ago. How do you correct for that?
Yeah, and I say that this is really, when I tell people they have the power to remember, this is really the discipline piece, right? Because how frustrating is it when you memorize something, you work on it, let's say you do the whole thing, you go through the whole four steps until this point, and you take a month to memorize something, and then boom, you never review it, and then 3 months later, 6 months later, you forget it. That is the value of actually reviewing it. And so I encourage people, one way to be able to do it is, you know, get to a point where you do it every day for a week. And if you really want it to stick, for a month, and then you do it for, you know, then you do it every week for a month. Then you can do it every month for a year, and then you could do it every year. There's different ways to, you know, to be able to review it. But being able to have a system, there's different resources I can share as well. I have a system where I review everything I do once a week. because I know I have 40 minutes of scripture for these different characters. I have to review it. But I would say not everyone has to do that, right? Yeah. I would say that some of them can get to that point where it's more like a once a month or you know, once a week, but it's, you know, short verses.
So, that's good.
But if you don't have the review, it's going to be really hard to keep it in your mind and keep it fresh for you. The Holy Spirit can use it.
And one of the most important points you make is share it. Live it out.
Yes.
Use it in your prayer life. I mean, that's, wow, yes, absolutely. In other words, you've got your sword, okay? It's out of the sheath. Go use it. Take advantage of it. Yeah.
Yes, yes, absolutely. I tell people that. I said, it's really like, if you don't actually live it out, it's like, have you really understood what the scriptures say?
That's it.
Have you really understood? Have you really stored it in your heart where you actually realize, like, this is what equips us to do every good work. This is what should make us zealous for good works. And to pray scripture over someone is one of the most powerful things I tell you. And I will say that even if you do forget certain things you memorize, I say one of my favorite verses, John 14:26 says, the Holy Spirit, He is the helper. He will bring into remembrance everything He has taught you. And so I believe even scriptures that you quote-unquote forget from a human standpoint, He can bring it into mind at just the opportune time to pray over someone or for yourself when you just need this scripture that encourages you. And so I think there's a power in knowing the Holy Spirit will use everything you memorize, even if you forget it. But how much more of value if you review it and you keep it so that you can use it at any time.
Folks, I hope you've been inspired to memorize scripture. I hope you're inspired to the Word of God today on this program. Jeremy Kluth's been my guest from ScriptureAlive.com. He does dramatic presentations of scripture as well. Get Jeremy to perform for your group as well. Just visit ScriptureAlive.com. And be sure to pick up this little book. Very helpful. Power to Remember. Scripture memory that works. This is so much an important part of the Christian life. I mean, we're talking the most essential elements of the Christian life to be that fruitful tree planted by the rivers of water. Jeremy, thanks. This has been great. Appreciate you joining us today.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Kevin. I appreciate the opportunity. And just hoping that this can inspire and empower people to store more of God's word in their hearts.
Amen.
This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.